Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1202, and we'll begin with the verse 26 and read through verse 31. We'll read the verses responsively. We'll take note of the 28th verse, which is the text verse for this morning's message. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 31. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful book. Thank you that through the ages you've preserved it. Thank you that good men defended it, fought for it, died for it. Thank you that we have copies available to us so readily. Thank you for this day. We would honor thee this day. We would honor thy book. And we would listen, of course, to the man of God as we believe he honors thee and walks with thee to give us that which we need for this day, for this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the book. I pray you to help me as I do it, our people as they hear it, and each of us, may we practice it. In Jesus' name, amen. I do not know of a sermon that I've preached in a long time that will apply to everyone any more than this one. I'm going to bring an unusual sermon this morning entitled, What Romans 8:28 Does Not Say. What Romans 8:28 Does Not Say. I read for you, and each of us could quote it, but I read for you my text. And we know, that word know there is a very interesting word. It's a secret order word, like a Masonic lodge, and I'm not a Masonic lodge member, neither do I endorse it. But they have some secrets they're not supposed to reveal. We know what others do not know. That's what it means. We have a little something we know that the world doesn't understand. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I hope you listen carefully. What Romans 8:28 does not say. Probably the Bible's most misunderstood verse and one of the most oft-quoted verses in the Bible. But the truth is that most people do not understand what Romans 8:28 says. So I'm going to teach you first what it does not say, and then that will lead us to the conclusion of what it does say. What does Romans 8:28 not say? Number one, it does not say that all things work together for good. I heard a preacher preach a funeral sermon, and he said, all things work together for good. No, that's not what it says. It says more than that. It says all things work together for good to those who love God, those that are called according to his purpose. Secondly, what does Romans 8:28 not say? It does not say all things work together for good to those who love God. I've heard that quoted again and again and again. No, it does not say that. If you live outside the will of God, okay, how much you love God, all things don't work together for good for you, or for good, period. It does not say all things work together for good. It does not say just all things work together for good to those who love God. Number three, listen carefully now. I've taken this verse this week, and I've looked at it from every possible angle and every possible view. I have looked up every word in my Greek New Testament. I've looked up the meaning of every word, and I want to tell you this morning something that will help you if you listen. I said, number one, it does not mean that all things work together for good. I said, number two, it does not mean that all things work together for good to those that love God. Number three, and listen carefully, I said every word, it does not say all things work together for my good. Well, it'll all work out for my good. No, listen, it does not say that. It may be for my good. It may be that all things work together for good if I love God, the called and called His purpose. It may be that it work out for my good. Or it may be it'll work out for somebody else's good. Or it may be it'll work out for God's good. But it does not say that everything's going to work out for my good. For example, let's suppose that a person loves God, and please listen to this carefully. I'm thinking about a young lady right now. She loves God. She does, sincerely, I'm sure of that. She also is in the will of God. But in a moment of weakness, she became pregnant out of wedlock. Now, she loves God. Now, she's in the will of God and trying to do the will of God. But in a moment of weakness. Now, my Bible says that if she loves God and she's the will of God, that all things work together for good. Now, listen carefully. Don't leave me now. That means that it won't be for her good, maybe. But it'll be for somebody's good. So the Bible does not say that all things work together for good. It does not say that all things work together for good those that love God. It does not say it necessarily will be for my good. Number four, it does not say, hear me carefully, it does not say all things work together for the best. It may be good for good, but it does not say that all things work together for good for the best good. Well, it's going to be better in the long run. No, that's not true at all. An old illustration. I've used it again and again. I'll abbreviate it and give it to you very, very quickly, but it's perfect. My mother, one night, we're in a car together, the two of us. My mother began crying. I asked her what was wrong, and she wouldn't tell me. She acted like she had a cold. I asked her again what was wrong, and again she wouldn't tell me. Finally, I pulled over beside the road, and she had just heard me preach the sermon, by the way. And I said, Mother, you're crying. What's wrong? And my mother said, I was just thinking, son, if you'd been my pastor when I was married to your daddy, I believe I could have kept your daddy. Now, wait a minute. I believe I could have kept your daddy. I said, what in the world are you talking about? She said, son, as you know, much of the time, we lived in one room. And you and Earlene, you sleep on a pallet over here, which is a quilt on the floor. Earlene would sleep on a pallet over here. Your daddy and I would be over here in the bed. And I was not a good wife to your daddy for several reasons, but she said, son, I thought that you and Earlene were supposed to come first. I thought that a mother was supposed to put her children first. Now, you ladies listen to me. Your husband's supposed to come first. Wouldn't hurt you anything. Use a babysitter every once in a while and go out with your husband and have a date. Wouldn't hurt you sometime. Take a few days off and take a little trip with your husband. I'm talking to ladies this morning who are sincere and good ladies, but you're not right with God because God didn't look down and see a baby that needed his diaper changed. Now I'm going to make a mother for that baby. God looked down and saw a man that needed a helpmeet, and God made you to be a wife. Now you listen. My mother said, son, I did not know. I thought I was doing what was right. Nobody ever told me that daddy was supposed to come first, and I put you and Earlene first. And she said, son, can you forgive me for doing that, because I believe I could have kept your daddy. I believe your daddy may not have even turned to liquor. I said, you're the best, greatest mother in the whole world. Wouldn't trade you for anybody. But, and by the way, the night that my daddy left home to stay, my mother knelt at the foot of my bed and said, dear God, I'll make a man out of him. If you'll make a preacher out of him, I'll give my life to rearing my boy. Now, that wasn't best. Best would have been if my mother had been a good wife. Are you listening to me? Best would have been if my mother had been a good wife. And then she and daddy both could have served God, and she and daddy both could have taught me and prayed for me to be a preacher. But some good came. My mother loved God. She was sincere. She thought she was doing right. So all things did, even her mistake, and forgive me for saying it, even her sin of not being the kind of wife she should have been. Even that worked together for good. It did not work together for the best. Now, let me say this. All things do not work together for good. All things do not work together for good just to those who love God. All things do not work together for my good. All things, it doesn't say all things work together for the best. I've used this illustration also. My sister, her husband just left her one day and ran off with another woman. And now, the best would have been if Herman, her husband, had stayed home. And by the way, when I was their pastor, he was faithful to church and never missed Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But when we left Texas, somehow he drifted away from God. He just didn't come home one night from work. Now, is that best? No. But my sister decided to love, she loved God, and she was in the will of God, and my sister decided to make good come out of it. And so, now, not the best. Good came of it. Say, if you've messed up somewhere, it's not going to work out for the best, but if you love God and His will, it can work out for good. So, what Romans 8:28 does not say? It does not say all things work together for good. It does not say all things work together for good those who love God. It does not say all things work together for my good. It does not say all things work together for the best. For example, number four, it does not say, number five, does not say all things work together for the better. The good that comes from some event in life may not be as much good. Are you listening? As much good. So don't you think because you love God, listen, people that love God make mistakes. And you may make a mistake that'll keep you from being your best or doing your best. But, thank God, good can still come of it. It may not be the best good, it may not be better good, but bless God, it will be good. Number six, it does not say that God will change things because you love Him. It doesn't say if you love God, if you're in the will of God, God's going to change what would have happened to you. Doesn't say that. He doesn't fill the chug hole. He gives a shock absorber for the car. He doesn't stop the glare of the sun. He gives you sunglasses. He does not stop the cold winds. He gives you an insulated coat. He does not stop the going through the fire. He makes you fireproof. He does not stop the rain. He gives you an umbrella. He does not stop the storm. He gives you shelter. He does not stop the surgery. He gives you anesthesia. He does not stop the pain. He gives you an aspirin. I'm saying, all of a sudden, if you start loving God, God's not going to say, okay, this will not happen. The same thing that would happen to you may happen to you even then. But you, if you love God and are called according to His purpose, you, yourself, can use it for good. That's what God is saying here. I said, number one, don't leave me now. I said, it does not say all things just work together for good. I said, number two, it does not say all things work together for good those who love God. I said, number three, it does not say all things work together for good for my good. Number four, it does not say all things work together for the best. It does not say, number five, all things work together for good for the better. It does not say, number six, God will change what's going to happen to me to make it work out good. No, God will take the same event that was going to happen to me anyway and bring some good out of it if I love Him and I'm His will. Hey, the whole thing here is loving. That's the whole thing. And do His will. I didn't say just be in His will. Do His will. Well, you say, Brother Howell, how can I find the will of God? Bless God, I got 66 books right there. All of them explaining to you what the will of God is. It's the will of God for you wives that you love your husbands and obey them. It's the will of God for you husbands you love your wives that God, Christ loved the church. It's the will of God for your children that you obey your mom and dad. It's the will of God for you folks that you respect authority. It's the will of God for you that you don't drink liquor. It's the will of God for you that you go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's the will of God for you that you're tired. It's the will of God for you that you don't drink or smoke. It's the will of God for you that you don't listen to dirty, stinking rock music. It's the will of God for you you don't invite a bunch of whores by way of a television set in your house and watch the dirty, stinking movies on television. I mean, the Bible's full of the will of God for you. And quit trying to find the things that are not in the Bible and get busy obeying the things in the Bible, and God will show you His will that's not written in the Bible. Number seven. Listen carefully now. It does not say that God is the one who will always work it out for good. If I love him, don't miss it. If I love him and do his will, I will, because I love him, use adversity for good. It does not say that God will work it out. God won't have to work it out if you love him. You'll work it out. You'll take whatever events come in your life, and you love God and doing his will, and you will say, I will take this adversity for good. I told my son Dave and his wife Brenda. I said, this event of this little child being taken from your lap, our grandson, Jack David, I said, you can take one choice of two. You can crack up. I told him at a cafeteria in Longview, Texas the other day when we were there. I said, Dave and Brenda, you can take this thing if you want to and let it ruin you. But I said, you got two little girls that you're rearing, and they need the security of a strong mama and a strong daddy. Now I said, you can let this thing wreck you, or you can let this thing turn out for good. I'm not saying it'll turn out for the best. I think the best would have been if little Jack David could have lived and grown up and become a servant of God. I think that's the best. But it didn't work out that way. And he's gone. You can't do a thing about it. But if you love God, you'll take whatever happens to you and you'll see to it that it works out for good. That means, if I love him and do his will, I will take illness and make good fun. I didn't say the best. I said good. I've had some physical reversals lately, and I would rather not have them. But I'm going to take them, and I'm going to make it good come from it. I've had some heartaches in my life, but I've seen to it that good comes from it. Now listen to me. Cancel your stupid pity party and call off your self-pity and decide that whatever, maybe a loved one has passed away, maybe you left a widow, maybe a child has been taken, maybe you've lost a job, maybe your heart is broken, maybe you've been injured somehow, or maybe you have an illness. Listen, if you love God and if you are doing his will, you yourself will take whatever comes to you and you'll work it out for the good. A heartbreak, a hardship, doesn't matter. It does not say that God will work it out for the good. It says it will work out. Good will come from it. Now, hear me carefully. Maybe I caused the adversity. Look, people can love God and be doing the will of God and make a mistake all of a sudden. I mean, look. They're people that love God in our house, Anderson College. They're people that love God and are doing the will of God, who in 60 seconds or a few minutes can make a mistake. But they love God and they're doing the will of God. They make a mistake. They get expelled from college. Now, is that the best? No, it's not the best. Is it better? No, it's not better. But God is saying you can take an expulsion from college if you love God or doing his will, but you had a temporary mistake, you had a lapse for a little while, and you can make that bring some good. So don't quit. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Don't get bitter at God. Take whatever happens in your life and make it work out for that which is good. That's what he's saying. So, I may cause it to work together for good. Or someone else may cause it to work together for good. God may work it out for your good. You may work it out for your good. Someone else may work it out for your good. God may work it out for another's good. Or God may work it out for your good. Or you may work it out for your good. You may work it out for someone else's good. But I'll say it again. Romans 8:28 does not say everything's going to work out okay. It does not say if you love God, everything's going to work out okay. It does not say that everything's going to work out for your good. It does not say that all things work together for the best. It does not say that all things work together for good for the better. It does not say that God will change what's going to happen and a different course of a route be taken. It does not say that God will work it out for the good. I may work it out for the good. And by the way, that's what I ought to do. It simply says, hear me carefully, poverty can work for good or bad, according to whether you love God and are doing His will. You bus kids, it would have been best for you, no doubt, and certainly more palatable, if you could have been reared in a nice middle-class neighborhood. But that's not, didn't happen that way. So the simple, honest truth is, poverty, you can, my mama did this. My mama didn't despair, throw up her hands. We lived in poverty that make you bus kids look like middle-class Americans. I was visiting in Cabrini Green a couple years ago. Walked in there, and that gal was eating a ham sandwich. Well, when I grew up, we didn't know there was such a thing called ham. I'm talking about, but my mother didn't say, okay, my husband's a drunk, he's an alcoholic, I haven't got a decent house to live in, we have to have an outhouse in the backyard, we have not much food to eat, we have to wear hand-me-down clothes, but my mother said, by cracky, I, myself, I happen to love God, I happen to be in the will of God, I happen to be doing the will of God, and I will take my poverty and see to it that good comes from it. That means illness can work together for good or bad, depending upon whether you love God and doing His will. That means that a heartbreak can work together for good or bad, depending on whether you love God and doing His will. That means that the death of a loved one. My mother lost two little girls, the first two children she bore. She lost each one at the age of 7. But she saw to it that she'd work that together for good. Now, that wasn't the best. The best thing had been for Lorraine to be normal and live the normal life. It wasn't the best for Hazel to die at 7, but Mama said, I'll bring good from it. Quit throwing your hands up in despair. Boy, I like that thing on a wall of my office that I've had for years. It says, never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. Never despair. But if you do despair, just keep on going and look the devil square in the eyeball and say, buddy, you in hell down there, you're not going to keep good from that happening here. I'm going to take the adversity and the heartbreak and the heartache and the battles and the sorrows and by cracky old booger man, I'm going to see to it that good comes out of this. It's up to you. That means battles can work for good or bad, depending on whether you love God, whether you're doing the will of God or not. Mistakes and failures. I said mistakes and failures. Your mistakes and your failures can work for good or bad, according to whether you love God and are doing His will or not. That means that hardship can work for good or bad, depending on whether you love God, whether you're doing His will or not. That means that shattered dreams can work for good or bad. You got a note this week. Nobody's going to know who this is except this young lady. She wrote me a note, and I'll be seeing her this week sometime. Brother Hiles, she's a single girl. I'm pregnant. When are you going to listen to me? When are you going to quit watching that stuff that gets you all sexually excited? When are you going to quit running with the kind of guy that would get you pregnant in the first place? I'll tell you, some of you young folks would be better off if you'd sit up and hear what I'm preaching up here on Sunday morning. And other, if you'd heed what I'm preaching and do what I'm preaching up here. But she said, I'm pregnant. I cannot bring the best out of that. I'll tell you what I can do. I can help good come from it. Oh, you've heard the story. It's been years and I've told it. First came here, the old building that burned. After service one morning, a little lady came down, and she was pregnant, obviously pregnant. I say obviously pregnant. I was walking down the alley the other day. I saw this little lady, big. I said, when's the baby due? She said, born 3 weeks ago. So she's with the house. I'll call her last name. Her name is Ford. She said, I'm expecting a baby. I'm not married. I already have one born outside wedlock. And I can't afford to rear both of them. Can you find me a good home? It so happened that I just got here from Texas. I knew a couple down in Texas named Ashley that couldn't have children. They came up and they adopted that baby. I went to St. Margaret's Hospital, St. Catherine's Hospital. I saw that little lady roll out of the hospital with in a wheelchair. Her little baby she'd given birth to a few hours before in her lap. I saw that couple come up and reach out their arms, and I saw that lady give away her baby. And that child grew up to be 18 years of age. That child came to Howells Anderson College. That child graduated with a degree from Howells Anderson College, a preacher boy. And now that child is a preacher of the gospel. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean that Miss Ford getting pregnant, does that mean that was best? No, sir. It simply means there are no circumstances in life that cannot bring good if you'll fall in love with Jesus and do His will. That's what it is. It simply means that some good can come from everything that happens if we love God and do His will. He means that God can salvage anything. Some good can come out of an old aluminum can. Some good can come out of an old newspaper. Some good can come out of old tin cans. And some good can come out of your aluminum can life. And your life has been thrown in the garbage can. I'm simply saying, anybody here this morning who fall in love with Jesus and decide you're going to obey that Bible as best you can and do the will of God, I'll promise you that some good can... Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have brought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may man. Didn't say the best beauty. Didn't say the greatest beauty. Didn't say the most beautiful, but bless God, some beauty. I'm saying, wherever you're sitting, whatever your circumstances are, right now, at this minute, you fall in love with Jesus Christ and get on your knees and say, dear God, I'm going to obey that book and as best I know how, I'll do your will. I'll promise you God can take the shattered dreams and shattered lives and broken hearts and broken health and broken air castles. I promise you that God can bring some good out of it. It may be the best. It may be the better. Or it may be less. But it'll be some good. It means how I feel toward God can determine how I use every event of my life. It means how I feel toward God can determine how others use every event of my life. It means how I feel toward God and determine how God uses every event of my life. The bottom line, love Him and do His will. Love Him and do His will. Some good will come to everybody, or will come to somebody in every circumstance of life. If we love God and do His will. Now, hear me carefully, I'll close. It does not even say that you will know when the good happens. It doesn't even say that you'll recognize it as good. It doesn't say that you will see the good. It doesn't say the good will come in your lifetime. It doesn't say that you will think it's good when it gets here. It simply says that all-knowing, all-wise, Heavenly Father, who charts the course of every bird, sparrow that flies through the air, and has a name for every star in the sky, and charts the course of every little fish that swims in a pond or the ocean, it means that God, the Creator of the universe, the Almighty, Omnipotent Heavenly Father, the Omniscient Heavenly Father, it simply means that our God will take whatever happens in your life and cause some good to come to somebody somewhere, someplace, if you love God and if you are doing His will. So put your loving, this lustful kind of synthetic kind of a love, and get out of this world and quit your sinning and quit your baroque music and your stinking dirty soap operas, and get out of the world and quit dressing like the world and talking like the world and smoking like the world and singing like the world and acting like the world, and fall in love with Jesus Christ and decide, I'm going to live according to this book, and I promise you every single day end of your life will bring some good somewhere at some time to somebody. That's what the verse means. Would you bow your heads, please?
Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the fourth chapter, page 998 in your Schofield Bible. Matthew chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 18 through 23. We'll read the verses responsively. The text verses the 21st verse.